It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, Paulie!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only... He's only mortal, folks. Paul LaVoy.
All right, welcome to Speak Out live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with a plastic sink. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Be like Wayne and donate to our sink collection. I don't know what that means, Cal.
Well, Mr. Malone, wasn't he the one that donated to bring that sink here for you?
Yes, absolutely. But we're talking about a white-suited John Travolta lookalike. Okay, first of all, I have more hair than Mr. Travolta at the moment, right?
Yes.
He's like Kojak bald, right?
Hey, actually, last time I saw
it. There's guys that shave their heads, and then there's guys that, like, you know, shave their heads.
Yes.
Smooth. But, no, you're wearing a white shirt, and me in a white shirt? Forget about it. It's going to be stained a half hour into the day. You know, there's going to be something that hits that white shirt. It's like a magnet. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Tuesday, January 27th, 2026. As you could hear by the bellowing tones of Mayor Cal Sheehy, right?
Right.
You're kind of baritone, I would say, isn't he? He's pretty bassy. He's got the good voice.
Okay.
A good voice for radio.
I haven't heard you sing, so I
don't. A face.
You don't want to.
A face for the mayor's office and a voice for radio. Nice. And Jenny Koch is here.
I am.
Councilmember Jenny Koch. Nice. Good to have you both here.
Good to be here.
And there's a lot on my list of talking about today. And let's go over the council agenda first, because there's such a big item when it comes to local sports, local teams, and that. Ball field lighting.
Yes.
Kind of run over that for me, if you will.
Yeah, we have a really great item to talk about with a cooperative purchase for new LED lighting for the Rotary Park ball fields 1, 2, and 3, and then also out at Sarah Park for ball fields 1 and 2. The lighting improvement project has been on the horizon for quite some time, but the users out there, there's some dead spots right now with our current lighting fixtures. So you don't always see the ball when it's coming at you pretty quick, which is a big problem. It also gives you black spots. It's real spotty. The older light technology has lots of different issues, but this project will not only enhance the ball field lighting, stop some light pollution from leaving the field area, and be a great improvement for the users out there. It's a really exciting project for our ballpark and field users.
Yeah, you can really focus the instruments now, from what I understand.
You can.
It's very and LED, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Now, Steve and I were doing a game in Kingman, and it was at Lee Williams, and the lights went out. They were automatically timed to go out at 10 o'clock, and it was Havasu and Lee Williams that were playing. They couldn't bring the lights right up.
Because they
were the
recharge, the
old halons, I think they call them.
Yes.
Yep.
If you do, you blow like a $600 bulb.
And that's the lighting technology we have out on the fields now. And so you have the light, it gets turned off for some reason during play. It does take about 15 minutes for it to recharge.
Right. So with the LED, a little bit different.
You
bring them right up. You don't have that warm-up period. covers all those dark spots. What's the cost on something like that?
Yeah, so there's, like I said, we're doing multiple fields at Rotary Park as well as out at Sarah Park. The total cost is going to be $672,000. It is a pricey proposition, but it does allow for utilization of the fields, because otherwise we can't use them in the dark periods, which, you know, nowadays is 6 p.m. in the wintertime when our students get out of school at 2:30 or 3. It doesn't leave a lot of time for that. So it would be about $672,000 to get all of those improvements done at all five fields.
It would be interesting to find out from an energy expert. I actually know one that works for a utility in Bullhead that could figure out how long it takes to recapture the cost of that. You know, with the savings
with
LED,
there's,
what is it, like 10% of the consumption of the old bulbs?
Yeah, the energy use is so insignificant compared to the current technology that we have out there. Yeah, great point. I don't have that information.
They're
going
to pay for themselves eventually.
They will, yes. And even just for safety and utilization of the field to allow longer and extended play times. And then also the light pollution. Right now, if you take a look, if you're in the center of town and you see the field lights on at the ASU field, the old Daytona Middle School site, and then look over to the horizon, over to Cypress Park, the difference between the light pollution on those two is significant because of the different technologies that are used. Cypress has this LED non-light polluting light technology.
What's the timeline on the improvements to be made from when council, if council approves tonight?
Yeah, so if it's approved tonight, work will get ready, and hopefully we'll have these on by mid to late spring.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
A nice turnaround.
Yes, very quickly.
Yeah, not like working at the state capitol, right, when you're making policy and then you got to wait 2 years. That's what Sonny and I were talking about that yesterday.
Yes.
If you heard the show. So.
Yeah, it would take, you know, after the session ends, it takes 90 days for all regular things to even become law, and then, you know, depending on how the policy is written.
Is there anything else on the agenda that's super major, like we had the water, what was it, I can't remember.
The rezoning.
The pump house.
Oh, the new water lab.
Yes.
Last meeting. That's another really exciting project. That water lab is long overdue. And, you know, we have to do so many different samplings and testings of water on the potable water that goes through our system, as well as our effluent. And we also do testing for other water districts in the area. So that project is going to be a really great enhancement. Tonight we also will be talking about the code section as it relates to our Parks and Rec Advisory Board. The Parks and Rec Advisory Board has asked for some changes to the frequency and the purposes and how they meet. And so this just codifies those changes going from a monthly meeting to an every other month meeting process.
Okay.
And then the council had some feedback about some of the specific items that we would like to have their feedback on. And so those changes will be in tonight's final adoption for consideration of the city council.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Let's talk a little bit about the upcoming budget process that's coming. I know you guys are really looking forward to that, right?
You know, we are in a good fiscal position because of the leadership that we've had and the decisions that we've made. So, yeah, we do look forward to where we can make investments for our community and create a better quality of life and a better Lake Havasu City for our residents.
Okay. Now, what exactly are capital improvements? We've talked about this in the past. I pretty much know what they are, but what doesn't qualify, what does qualify as a capital improvement?
Yeah, so by definition, it's generally anything over $50,000 that is a capital investment. We call it a CIP plan, which is our capital improvement plan. Each year, the council adopts a CIP for 5 years. So we take a long horizon and look out at 5 years with a focus on also years 6 through 10. So we understand for some of the larger water and wastewater, roads, some of the larger infrastructure projects, what we need to program and have money set aside for. And then when we adopt it, CIP year one, the first year, is what would actually happen in that current year.
Okay.
And so we have several amazing CIP projects that are ongoing right now. One is a Coma Boulevard. It sure does look like a mess right now, and it's been really frustrating for all of the motorists and residents in that area. But we're doing underground work right now on the water main replacement project. In addition, we have other utilities that are working in that same area. So Unisource doing some gas line improvements. with the anticipation that then we are going to pave Acoma Boulevard and not allow for the ability to have additional cuts into the roadway, especially a brand new roadway that we do. So that's a really great project that's occurring right now. Of course, the ball field lighting that we just talked about is happening. The bathroom building and concession area at Main Street Commons. Fire Station 7's programmed. I mean, there's lots of amazing things that are occurring in our CIP or our capital improvement budget right now.
Jenny, you mentioned Fire Station 7, and we're always constantly getting updates from Chief Pete on that. But being that Chief Pete and Chief Sterling are on the third Monday of the month, and there are two holidays, there's the MLK Day holiday, and now there's President's Day holiday, we always miss January and February. Do we have an update on Fire Station 7?
Yeah, we had our annual
planning session. Planning session last week, and so you know we talked about all of our capital improvement projects that we want to see and things that we want to see done, and you know they're moving right along. I don't even remember the percentage that they said they were at.
Yeah, I think 60% plans right now.
Well, that's what I wanted to say, but I'm wondering if I'm getting it confused with
the bridge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Too many projects.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Now, explain to people out there, you see it so much on Orchids and Karens, right, about the bridge and the funding and, why are we spending all this money on another bridge? We're not. That's
right.
The whole point. And we have to spend it in a certain amount of time or we lose it, correct?
They were able to correct it. So we don't have to spend it in a certain amount of time, but we still obviously need to be good stewards of the money. The money is coming to us with the great efforts of Representative Biasucci at the time, Supervisor Borelli, who was Senator Borelli at the time, and Representative Gillette. We're able to get direct appropriation funding from the state budget in the amount of $35.5 million.
It's almost miraculous to me.
They did such an amazing job.
How did they do that?
Yes, they did such a great job getting us that money. We already have it in our bank account, and we're at 60% plans now on the second bridge, right. Which, you know, within just a year of getting the funds, we already had the contractor hired. We have the plans moving. We expect to hear from approvals on the Coast Guard, which is the main approving body, by, you know, late summer, early fall. And from there, then we'll be able to go to 100% plans and go to the races on building a bridge.
It's one of those things like Don Laughlin said on the Laughlin Bridge, 10 years to plan it, 6 months to build it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so many things outside of our control. I mean, so many things that you have to submit, and there's a process that you have to go through, and it's not always, we have no control over some of the process. They can sit on somebody's desk somewhere for months, and there's nothing
right.
we can do about it. We can poke them and prod them, but at the end of the day, we can do everything we can do as fast as we can do it, but it's a waiting game.
There's only so much you can do. Everybody always says, well, the mayor can do this, the mayor can do that. You can't lower grocery prices,
No, if I could, we would be doing that. Yeah, we would like our citizens to be able to have that affordability, but we don't have that ability.
So we did get a text, and I should say the text line is 928-727-5566. 928-727-5566. And the listener wants to know, with all the construction going on Acoma, is there a plan to repair Chimoweevee after that pipe burst? And they say it's pretty messy. Chimoweevee and there's a church over there.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Right off of Jamaica.
I just noticed it this morning when I was coming home. It's worse than it has been.
So Saratoga and
between
Chimoweevee.
Saratoga and Jamaica on Chimoweevee.
Yes.
Right. But is there a plan in place? I know that was like a double line break from what I understand.
Yeah, so we're...
Marissa June lives right next to that.
Oh, geez. Yeah. No, we absolutely will be taking care of it. I'm not personally familiar with that specific area, but I absolutely will bring it up to our public works team.
I did notice this morning. And I drive that every day, and I don't know why this morning it actually draw my attention more than normal. So
right, I don't think I would park near there anytime soon.
Okay. Yeah, no, we'll absolutely get eyes on that and get it addressed.
Okay, perfect. Let's see. You guys want to move to? What's going on with the pool? The second pool that they were talking about by the aquatic center.
Yes.
Is it just kind of shelved, or what's happening with that?
Yeah. So we had that item.
what was the laugh for?
Gosh. this pool.
Yes.
Oh, the pool.
Yes, so the pool project came forward with citizens that are users of that area and wanted to have additional pool options. Right now, our current pool in the aquatic facility is overused. There's hardly any time for you to do anything in there. So it limits lap swim. We also have competitive swim teams at the high school and otherwise. We have aerobic programs. We have so many different things that are occurring in that area that it was determined that a need for an additional pool facility would be necessary. So we looked at a variety of options and locations, and it made the most sense from an operational standpoint and cost perspective to put it adjacent to the current pool, have it be an outdoor pool, but then we'd be able to share all of the locker room facilities, the parking facilities, and the staffing facilities. So our staff would be able to work and oversee both of the pool areas. So it came before council. And during that process, council gave direction on how they wanted the pool to proceed. The city team went and did that. It came back to council, and then there was discussion that maybe that wasn't exactly what the council wanted. So we tabled the project, and we will look at having a focus of it, programming it into a future year for the CIP budget.
Wow.
As we change the process. So I'm not sure how all that went down. I thought it was
like
pretty seamless.
It seemed like a slam dunk.
It's a pretty simple project.
And all of a sudden, no pool.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty simple project, but, you know, we have to work with our colleagues on council, and there are seven of us, and, you know,
gotcha.
At times things just, you know, different council members have different perspectives, and that's what makes the community so great is we can have those discussions. But on this side of it, I thought it was an easy project. I thought it, was a no-brainer, especially since it was led by the citizens and we had the money programmed in the budget, but that's not how it worked out. So, we will, have it, go in a future CIP budget, process and see how the outcome occurs at that point.
Perfect. All right. Jenny, did you have anything extra on that?
No.
No? Not so much?
We've right. talked about the pool so much.
Yeah, right. Are you headed up to the AV this weekend to meet Scott Jennings?
I am, yes.
Yeah.
I will be there.
I'm probably,
so will Councilmember Koch.
I'm thinking I'm going to be talking to him possibly Thursday morning right before the show with
great.
Jody Segesser.
Perfect.
Going to be on. Right, right,
yeah.
right. But, yeah, an evening with Scott Jennings. You might want to contact the Lake Havasu Republicans right now. It is a special guest is Dr. Paul Gosar. It's this Saturday night at the AV Resort and Casino. And it is AV, by the way. It's not AV.
I didn't. I called AV.
Yeah, it's the AV.
AV.
Yeah, so from a former employee. General Mission, I believe, is 125. And I think his book comes with that.
Oh, nice.
If I remember right. But, yeah, it's an evening with Scott Jennings. Scott Jennings, of course, one of our talk show team members. He's on at midnight right here on KNTR Talk. And, yeah, you might want to get a hold of the Republicans. It's MojaveCountyGOP.com. And let's see, it's 6 p.m. Nevada time, 7 p.m. Arizona. And that's the dinner. Let's see, it includes heavy appetizers and a photo opportunity with Mr. Jennings. There you go.
Excellent.
Looks like a tall guy. Seems, he just seems kind of like a tall
Probably
guy.
Probably not compared to Mayor.
No. No, you'll be looking down on him too.
Yes.
For sure. All right. Little George Strait to go out to break. And why? Because we have rodeo tickets for this weekend. We've got Saturday or Sunday. Not too many Saturdays left, but we do have General Mission tickets. Valued at $15 a piece for Delbert Days and Grand Canyon Pro Rodeo. The big rodeo, the big kids rodeo is at 1. The kids, the Delbert Days is at 10 is the registration. Parents, if you want to get your kids out there and do some mutton busting, right? Did you do that when you were a kid?
I did not.
Neither did I.
No, I didn't.
I did Gymkhana, but I was a little bit too old to do mutton busting. Right?
Yes.
All right. We're going to go to break. We do have a phone call, and that means somebody wants tickets. Back with more in a moment on Speak Out. Hey, we also have Symphonic Winds tickets for, let's see, it is February 1st. Red, White, and Big Band is the show. All right. That's a $10 ticket, by the way. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Keep them close by. Don't you let them fade away. So you'll remember what I forgot to say. Write this down. As he rode away, he never hung his hat up at Kitty's place. I should have been a cowboy, I forgot he says at Kitty's place. I thought he said Jenny. So I'll find a song. You know, I'll have to play like 8675309 one of these days. It's too cliche, though, isn't it?
Right?
You think?
I've always thought so, but you don't know how many times you hear that.
It's been so long since you've been on Speak Out.
Has it?
Yes. Kind of forever.
We rotate. It's like we all take a turn.
I think it was you and David Lane. I don't think the mayor was here.
No.
Well, that's a long time.
No, I was with Cal not too long ago.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Things
no
going
way
good?
It was that long.
Things going good at the hospital?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Excellent. Busy.
We had Doug on here a couple times. Yeah, he's an excellent guest. Doug Segesser, the CFO for Valley View
and
HRMC. Right, right, right. Anyway, a little late, great Toby Keith, and remind you that Speak Out is brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet by Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy's Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and A&B Propane. Check them out online, abpropaneaz.com. And don't forget, we stream live, and our show archives are at kntrtalk.com. And how's the supply of business cards doing there? Are we getting thin, or we good?
I need to refill here shortly, but you're all right for right now.
Good, good, good. You know, for the first year or two that I was here, I used to write the show's the address for online, the URL. I used to write it on the back of all of them.
Oh, geez. Like,
can we just get them printed that way? So that's what we did.
Yeah, smart.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. I don't deserve a smartphone, like Brenda said, our winner for the tickets today. But that was a smart idea.
Yeah, it was.
So sometimes I have those. You know, I hate to open this can of worms, but I have to. Medians.
Yes.
Man, what is going on? I need to know who pays for all that.
We did not ask for those.
Yeah, well, we absolutely did not ask. They're ridiculous.
No, I thought the public comment was that because of the safety factor out there, we had some head-on collisions from, you know, medical incidents or whatever it was that people crossed over onto the other side.
Yes.
And that there were some bad collisions out there. People tend to forget.
Yes.
Is that why ADOT did it, or was it because somebody locally, a group of people got together? What happened?
No, it was ADOT, and it was all based on the
statistics.
The traffic statistics that you mentioned, and we did have people that have had deaths that occurred because of those accidents.
Right.
So we have, through the Metropolitan Planning Organization, the federal dollars opened up for the Highway Safety Improvement Program funding. So in 2019, the MPO said, yes, here you apply for these funds. They received the funds for program year 25. But that was the end of it. There was no additional conversation. There was no public outreach. There was no discussion with our residents, with the city. Nothing. Nothing at all.
So they finished the road.
Yes.
They striped the road.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, a couple months later, they just start on the medians?
None of it makes any sense, Paul. Like, it doesn't make sense to
me.
But that's
the timeline, right?
Yeah, so when our representatives, Representative Biasucci, and at the time, again, Supervisor Borelli, who was Senator, and Representative Cobb, got the money to redo Highway 95, you would have thought they would have taken into account, not our representatives who got us the money.
No,
they did great work. You would have thought ADOT would have said, hey, we have this program, and do it all at once. But even if so, they encroach into the lanes. They were unmarked. They were so hard to see. There's no way for you to pull off. I mean, there's just so many things wrong with it. And
I couldn't believe they signed off on that project. There was no reflective tape or anything on those edges. Nothing.
Probably worse than anything was the no public comment.
No public comment. Agreed.
I think that's what caught our residents guard more than anything. Is normally when there's a project, especially of that magnitude, there's at least a area for them to come in and have a meeting and talk about the project and know what to expect. And I think that our citizens were just felt a little blindsided by the project at that point.
As they should have. There was no outreach. And so by the time once it started going up, I drove out there. I'm sure the rest of our council did. We had a Tri-City Council meeting, and we brought it up to ADOT at that point. At the meeting was also Representative Biasucci, and also Supervisor Borelli was there, and many of the council members. And ADOT was sort of dismissive towards us. And so citizens got involved, which was so amazing to see them rise up. And, you know, they created a Facebook page, and then results happened. And just last week they announced that they're coming back and they're going to make corrections to it. And, you know, I'm skeptical now because they didn't do any community outreach or discussion.
Yeah.
But
how much resentment is there, right?
Yes.
How much are they taking off of each side?
Yeah, so I don't have all of the details yet of what they're doing, but they're going to take off the bullnose, soften the edges, some of those types of things, some lane adjustments, but they're still working through some of the items on their end. And so hopefully by late spring, we'll be able to see some of those corrections. But in the meantime, you know, I just urge all residents to use caution out there. And you know, I'm sorry for it. None of it makes any sense, but the city wasn't involved. It wasn't our project, and we would not have allowed it to happen if it were ours.
I'm going to play devil's advocate, all right?
Yes.
Because I love doing that as
Please.
A talk show host.
Yes.
And there's an unintended consequence here. Move to the right.
Yes.
Move to the right.
Yeah.
So let the faster traffic go by and take the risk of hitting the median.
Yes.
There you go.
There are definitely
am I wrong?
Options there.
No.
You know, Brad, I had a call this morning that a resident was thought all of the hype was silliness and, you know, just learn how to drive, that type of a sentiment. And then they were coming home yesterday and it happened to them.
Oh.
And so, like, yeah, now I kind of get it. And so, I mean, it's just both sides. I mean, change is hard. But the community, as Councilmember Koch said, if we would have had community input, I think a lot of this would be different because the citizens would have been heard and the project would have been adjusted.
They're the longest medians I've ever seen, and that includes Vegas. I mean, there's some long stretches of median there.
Which is where you get into some talks about what is the unintended consequence for emergency vehicles.
Thank you.
Attending to any kind of an accident out in that area, you know, having to go on the other side and the wrong way up. I mean, there are some questions regarding that. And again, even the unintended consequences, we see how today and more now than ever, you have distracted drivers. It just takes a little bit of a weaving over for someone that grabs their cell phone, which they shouldn't, but we all know they do, or just not paying attention and tuning the radio or whatever they're doing, and they swerve a little bit. Well, someone is going to be a cautious driver, and they're going to go over, and then they hit it. You know, it's not about... It's not about hitting it because you don't know how to drive.
If you saw the new wheels I'm driving, it has lane centering.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it actually helps. So it keeps you centered in the lane, and it doesn't fight you too much, but it's definitely there if you have that option on. So I'd be interested in what the residents have to say, even though you've heard it all, right? I haven't, even though we're here at the mothership. We don't have people calling in saying, get rid of the medians like they do with your two offices, right?
Yes.
928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. I want to kind of blow past the normal time we take a break. I want to talk about election packets and that. And Jenny, you and I had talked a little bit a few months ago. You weren't really sure, should I stay, should I go, and that. When did you make the decision to pick up a packet and run for re-election? This will be your third term if you win, right?
Fourth
term. Okay.
So I really haven't had this conversation with anyone, but during the last election, I pretty much decided that our daughter was out of the house. My husband would be at his new job this year 5 years. I'd be at my new job 10 years.
Right.
And we were going to just start traveling. And 2 weeks before getting sworn into office, unfortunately, he got
his diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't know what that looked like or what that played out. So, you know, I really didn't make any concrete decisions throughout the whole process that I was going to make myself stick to one way or the other because, you know, life just ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy what I do, and I love serving the residents of Lake Havasu. Even from the first day I got into Havasu 25 years ago, I've worked with the business community. I've worked for Lake Havasu in one way or another as far as volunteering or my nonprofit associations or whatever it is. And you know, right now, that purpose in my life is very important to me, more probably now than ever has been before. So I have the ability and the time and the support from friends and family and my work to allow me to be able to continue to do that if it's the will of the citizens. So.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I know that wasn't easy, but and picking up a packet, again, though, That's do you do door to door? Do you go meet with the public? Do you just have your petitions everywhere you go?
You do. You carry them with you. They're like your lifeline for as many weeks as you need. Uh-huh. But this has been an interesting election. It's been so many people that have just come up and talked to you and just want to talk and happy to sign and happy to support you. And right. It's been a really positive experience. So, you do different social circles that you're in, and it gives you a push to get out there and be seen more than you maybe have been in the last couple of months.
Cal, share your experience with it. When did you come to the decision you're going to run for your...
This would be my third term.
Your third term.
As mayor.
And tell us when the deadline is to turn them in, and that while you tell us when you came to that decision that you'd run for number three.
Sure, yeah. So it's currently the way that the timing of some of our major projects that we're working on kind of falls into a place where do you find the equilibrium of having new ideas, new perspectives, and new people, which that I value that. I think that's good.
Absolutely.
And then where do you take that and balance it with experience and the experience that matters and the connections and relationships that have been made? And so I had made the decision for me that at 12 years that would be based on the projects we have. So we mentioned earlier we have Fire Station 7 that we're working on. We've been working on this for a very long time.
Yes.
And to be able to see that project come to fruition and be seen through. The second bridge that we are working on very, very fast pace, we're working on that. The post-2026 guidelines for the management of the Colorado River system and the importance of that effort. So there's so many big projects that experience does matter, and the relationships that we've built matter. And how do I balance that with fresh ideas and fresh perspectives? So I am running for my third term. This would be my final time mm-hmm. that I would run for mayor. It'd be my final term. And at that point, I would encourage others to come in and bring that fresh idea and fresh perspectives. If again, I am fortunate enough to earn the trust of the voters.
And when are packets due?
Packets are due on April 6th or April 4th?
That far away.
I thought it was the 4th.
Day after my birthday. Perfect.
Yeah, let's see. They are due April 6th.
April 6th. That's a Monday.
Monday.
Yeah, because the 3rd is a Friday.
Yes.
Perfect. I have to ask you this only because, just for my own edification, I see you at the GOP picnic, for example, or you're going to the Scott Jennings event on Saturday. Are you approached at all by, to go to higher office?
Folks have mentioned it, or some would support that. They encourage me to do those types of things. I believe
you have other commitments, though.
I do have other commitments. I have a job, and and that's located here in Lake Havasu. But this is also my home, and I believe that government closest to the people is the most effective. And at the local level, we're able to connect with each other. I mean, I was at the Bloom Festival this weekend. I know Councilmember Koch was there as well, and we're able to connect with our citizens one-on-one and talk about the things the city is doing and why we're doing them or why we're not doing them, how we can make it better. We're able to work with our legislators. We have relationships with our legislators from this district, and we're able to get a lot of things done. And so right now, the purpose and the calling that I have is at the local level, and that's where I'm focused on.
Yeah.
And I'm honored to be able to serve in this capacity.
That's what I want to talk about next, is that relationship with the state legislators. There's a lot going through right now, and the governor, of course, in her last year of her first term, there's a lot of decisions that could be made that involve rural Arizona. Big decisions, like the chicken decision. Remember that?
Yes, I do remember.
Now everybody can own a chicken.
Yes.
And the city has no say over it. That just baffles me.
Yes.
To no end. And how this governor just, it doesn't seem like she's in favor of local control at all. So I'm kind of praying there's some short-term rental legislation that we can, sink our teeth in as far as control goes.
Yes.
Like Jess says, you can't even regulate them.
Right.
So, all right, back with more in a moment. You had to play some Big and Rich, right? It's rodeo time, man. You're going to give away another pair of tickets to the Delbert Days and Grand Canyon Pro Rodeo this Sunday. I don't have any more Saturday tickets left. I know people, but you know what? I need to give away some Sunday tickets. So give me a call for a pair of Sunday tickets for the Grand Canyon Pro Rodeo. It's at the rodeo grounds at Sarah Park. and it's 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, or we haven't had our normal caller. We have one particular caller who loves to go to Symphonic Winds events, and that is on February 1st. Red, White, and Big Band. I have tickets to that, too. So stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Welcome back to Speak Out, and congratulations to Julie. She picked up tickets to the Sunday Rodeo, Delbert Days and Grand Canyon Pro Rodeo at the Rodeo Grounds at Sarah Park. And, yeah, everybody get out. These are like $15. You get a real horses, real everything out there, right? Real bulls. I'm just saying, real. It's all out there, man, if you love the rodeo. And the best part is the opening ceremonies, always. I think, anyway, you get that the ladies riding around the rodeo ring with the flags mounted, you know, planted in the saddle there or in the stirrup, and it's just really cool to watch. I like how they do that.
You know, it's an amazing event every year, and the Campbell family does a great job out there at the rodeo grounds. If you get a chance, it's a really great place to go.
That's just one of them.
Yes, exactly.
That's just one of them. So yeah, we'll have the Stampede coming up here pretty soon. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, by Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, Solar Power, by Esme Electric, Doritas Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City. And don't forget to buy local, or it's buy local. And we're with Mayor Cal Sheehy and Councilmember Jenny Koch. And, I mean, we have to talk about what's happening at the state as far as short-term rentals go. You know, Jess really clued me in, City Manager Jess Knutson, of course, about regulation. In order to shut down a short-term rental, they have to have 3 convictions within 1 year of a complaint. Like if there's a noise complaint or some kind of citation, a code violation, that 3 in a year. Why shouldn't it be 3 strikes and you're out?
Right, it's 3 in a year, and they have to be adjudicated through the courts. There's not even enough time to adjudicate 3 cases in the courts at that point. So, yeah, we've been working really hard on short-term rentals ever since the bill passed in 2016 that took away local control. I'm always going to advocate for local control. I think Lake Havasu City has solutions for Lake Havasu City problems, not Phoenix having solutions for Lake Havasu City problems. But this year we are making some really great progress on short-term rentals. There's a couple of bills that are there. One allows limits on them for communities that are under 70,000 in population, which obviously would be like Havasu City. Like Havasu City has zero interest in getting rid of short-term rentals. We just need the ability to be able to manage neighborhoods and allow our residents the ability to sleep at night and enjoy their peaceful enjoyment of their properties. So we're trying to find that balance, and some of these bills will allow us to do that. There seems to be bipartisan support on these issues this year, which is great. We have Senator Fincham out of the Sedona area is running one of the bills, and that will be very helpful. And then we have some other bills that will restrict the occupancy of vacation rentals something that's established by a city or town, or not more than 2 occupants per bedroom, up to 4 bedrooms. So it puts some guardrails in some of those areas. So again, really great opportunities at the legislature this year for the short-term rental issue, which has not been. And then also, you're saying that Jess was mentioning that it has to be 3 violations in a 12-month period.
That's insane.
They want to expand that to a 24-month period, which then it could be adjudicated, and that actually can be supported by the industry, the short-term rental industry. Because there's a...
They're good with that?
They're good with that,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
They also want to be good neighbors, and so how do you find that balance? So, and short-term rentals really have impacts on communities in different ways. I mean, Sedona has a housing availability challenge. They don't have enough dwellings. Lake Havasu is you know, some of our prices have risen because of them. So, you know, we need to be able to figure out local solutions at the local level. And that might be different for Sedona than it is for Lake Havasu. But nonetheless, let's have local control on that front.
Yeah, I asked Jess that very question. Wouldn't you like to see the number regulate? Where he says, not so much. We'd like to be able to regulate as far as we can't shut them down.
Right. If we needed to shut down a bad actor, we're not able to do so.
Right.
And that could be devastating to a neighborhood, devastating to a neighbor that's next to one of these mismanaged properties or issues. And like I said, we're not trying to get rid of them. That's really not an issue for us. We've had them since day one when Mr. McCulloch first came to Lake Havasu. We're okay with them. We just need to be able to have local solutions for local challenges that they bring with them.
Right, right. Would you like to be able to regulate? What was I thinking? Henderson has a moratorium, but that's Nevada.
Right.
You know, they have. You can only have so many in the city before they're maxed out.
Yeah, and that's where.
Would you like that ability?
Well, that's one of the bills is limiting the number.
Well, what's the chances of that?
It seems that it could move. I mean, Senator Fincham is a GOP member of the legislature. There's bipartisan support on that front. It's for cities with a population of 70,000 or under. But I'm also an advocate of property rights. And so property owners have property rights.
As in, let the market dictate?
The market needs to dictate, mm-hmm. and people should be able to enjoy their property the way that they see fit, as long as it fits within the zoning and regulations. But it also, one neighbor can't be causing issues for another neighbor. So that's where some of these management tools that we're looking for.
Well,
which,
not everyone's a bad one.
No,
that's
absolutely
the problem.
Not. Yeah.
You can't say, because you have one bad actor, now nobody can have that ability to do that with mm-hmm. their home that they own. So it's such a catch-22, but when you have your hands tied and, back when I first got on council, it worked perfectly. We had a good system until then the state came in and tried to tell us how to do it and thought they could do it better, and it's been a problem ever since then.
It surprises me. It's almost become the legacy of Doug Ducey.
Yes.
The short-term, and that's not good.
No.
I mean, I thought he was a decent governor, but then he has that legacy right there. But what are the chances that there's talk that short-term rental owners will be charged or taxed as commercial properties, not residential?
Yeah, so that bill has already died.
Oh, it has?
Yes. Yeah, so our county assessor, Jeannie Kench, has done such amazing work on that front. But they were unable to locate a bill sponsor for it, and that issue is not going to be proceeding this year. Doesn't mean in future years
right.
we couldn't have that discussion. But I think we need to attack it from multiple different angles.
So we're down the home stretch here. What other pieces of legislation would you like to see go through that would benefit Lake Havasu City?
Yeah, so there are several issues with tax conformity, which the legislature passed week one of the legislature. The governor vetoed
it. What is
it.
That?
So Arizona, the way that our tax code is based off of federal, so you have to do tax conformity at the year. And with H.R. 1, which is the big, beautiful bill that President Trump signed into law.
The one big, beautiful bill, by
yes,
the way.
The one.
It combines eight into one.
Yes, the one. And so with that, there is some tax conformity challenges. So we need to ensure that we can protect local revenues. We have state shared revenues that we rely on to provide police, fire, parks, roads, and the like. So obviously we want to protect that. We would love to see some groundwater management legislation. Regulating some wells, and it's not as impactful to Lake Havasu City specifically, but it is to the region.
So real quick, how close are we on another Colorado River Compact, the revision?
So the deadline is February 14th, and so they are working on it. They have been actively meeting very regularly. I'm hopeful that the legislature will have to pass that as well this session. That is so imperative for what it is that we're doing for the management, give certainty for the management of the system and the infrastructure. Those are some other bills that we're watching. And then, 90% of our work at the legislature is to play defense on bad bills that are impactful.
Yeah.
So 85% of residents in the state of Arizona live in a city or town. And so because of that, we want to continue to protect state shared revenues and protect local control so that decisions can be made at the local level, which, in my opinion, is the most effective form of government and way that we can serve our citizens.
Oh, we got a call coming in, and this is going to be tough. I'm going to have to take it right to the top of the hour then. Let's go ahead and take this call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out. We have maybe 2 minutes.
I just wanted to make a quick comment. I don't care what people do on their property either. Just can we do something about the fireworks? And I'll listen offline. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a great comment, and thank you so much for calling in. That is one of the biggest issues we have with the short-term rentals. That's also an issue with state law, and the challenge we have by regulating is we have codes in our city code. By the time the call comes to us and our police department gets there, they have cleaned everything up and they've gone in the garage. But we have cited several people with some pretty severe fines this last summer because of this issue. So we'll continue to advocate for that. That is a great point, and thank you for bringing that forward.
So back to the Colorado River Compact negotiations. Yes. Is Colorado and the Upper Basin states, are they finally coming on board with all of this?
They are understanding that there's challenges, but they don't want to move from their position.
Oh my goodness.
And so there may have to be a federal solution, that which is not going to be good for any of us,
right.
But it is still so important.
I got you. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for being here, Mayor Cal Sheehy and Councilmember Jenny Koch. Jenny, thanks so much for sharing that story, by the way. I just have to thank you again.
No, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
No, no problem. No problem at all. All right, we're going to go ahead and take this one right up to the top of the hour. And again, thanks to the mayor and council member. And there's a meeting tonight, 5:30?
Correct.
Right? What about the parking? There was a press release put out on that.
Yes, so we have about 50 spots because they're doing some covered parking in the courthouse parking lot. So overflow parking is at City Hall, and there is a pathway that could get you to the area. But
okay.
If you want to engage
not
with us.
Not too bad of a walk, though?
Oh, not too bad of a walk.
Okay.
No.
Good. Yeah. Good, because some of us are mobility challenged.
Yes, mobility challenged folks, though, should park in the main lot, and the rest of us will park in the city hall.
Right. All right, folks, we'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
Any holes ain't gonna last too long if the DJ puts Bon Jovi on. She might come home in a tablecloth. Yeah, tequila makes her clothes fall.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.